and a microphone, and why don't you hook this up? This is what the guys on the radio work with, small audio console. And I said, yeah, I could do that. Well, I plugged it all together, and it worked. And, of course, I'd listened to the Red Robinsons and the Frosty Forests and Dave McCormick's and all my early heroes, and I wanted to do what they did. And so I sat down, and I played with this one turntable and seven records, and went back and forth and thought, this is what I want to do for my career. So my concept of brain surgery went out the door, and in I came with this concept, much to my parents' disappointment, of going into radio. And then along came Simon Fraser. I was still in high school, and a friend of mine was in the first class. And I said, is there a radio station there? I knew about UBC's RadSock operation, and I was going to try to start a station at SFU if there was no other station. And if there was, I was going to join it. There wasn't. And so when I got here, I thought, I'm going to start the campus radio station. And I ran into two guys from high school, John Bishop and Rob Turner, up on the AQ steps on a September afternoon. And, how you doing, man? I haven't seen you since high school. How are things and whatnot? Talking back and forth. And this is more than a soundbite, I realize, but it's the story. And so we're talking, and they said, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, taking this and this and this. But what I really want to do is I want to start the campus radio station. That is a cool idea. So all of a sudden we're talking about this. And finally Rob Turner said to John and me, he said, so are we going to talk about it or are we going to do it? And I said, we're going to do it. So I found out how to get a room, how to rent a, not rent, but book a room. I got some posters made, printed up, put them all over the place, said, if you're interested in a campus radio station, come to a founding meeting. We had about 50 people.
Wow.
Show up. A bunch of people came, some of whom had some background in radio, others who did not. Do we want to do this? Hell yes. So we got another meeting room. We elected a president. I got myself, I want to be the program director. And so we started to then go after money, $300, like I said, from the Student Association. What's it called? The Student...
Simon Fraser Student Society. Now.
Student Society. Okay, it's probably the same thing back in the day. So we got $300 from them. We found somebody who had an audio console, a speaker, one speaker, two turntables. The amplifier did not work. Two microphones, I think, involved in that. All this gear used to belong to Jack Cullen, who was a famous CKNW host for years, and later I became Jack's operator, so I worked very closely with him for years at CKNW. Anyway, we got the thing together. They gave us a janitor's closet on the other side of the campus, which was about as big as this room, and they said, there's your radio station. Have fun, guys. And so away we went. So it was my desire to get into radio, and my desire to be the guy who started the station at SFU that got me kind of into that position.
That's one of CJSF's co-founders, Brian Antonsen, talking about what motivated him to start this radio station, well, various radio stations that are part of this radio station's lineage. And you know, those things that motivated him, the sort of desire to express himself, the desire to be on the radio, the desire to do it himself is something that is part of this station's DNA. Our motto is DIY, which stands both for diverse, independent, and yours, and also for do-it-yourself, because the DIY spirit, the do-it-yourself spirit, is a big part of what we do here at CJSF. But you can't do everything yourself, right? We are also a community radio station, and we rely very much on the community and our listeners to be able to do the things that we love to do, to be able to do the things that you love to hear us do. And so if that resonates with you, the idea of helping us do it ourselves, the idea of helping fund a radio station that is diverse and independent and yours, please go to cjsffunddrive.ca and make a donation now. You can donate any amount. We are happy for anything you can contribute. Once again, if you donate $90.10 or more, you'll get a great print of our Fund Drive art designed by local artist Charlotte Cho. And go to cjsffunddrive.ca just to look at it, if nothing else, or you can find examples, excerpts of it on our social media platforms, CJSF Music, CJSF Talk on Instagram. It's really beautiful and really cool. And I'm excited to make my own donation so that I can get a print of it up on my wall. Very cool. Okay. So once again, cjsffunddrive.ca. And just help us rise higher and reach further and help Brian Antonsen's dream continue 50 years later, more than 50 years later, here at CJSF. One of the other great things that we do here at CJSF that I'm able to do on this show and others is help radio newcomers just get on the air and talk about the things they're interested in. And one example of this is the great Min, who has showed up partway through last year. He's a student here at SFU and very passionate about all things, well, let's say nerd culture. I don't know. He's into Marvel and science fiction and anime and all sorts of, cool culture stuff. And is very keen to talk about all of it. And last week? Yeah, I played part of a conversation that we had where we talked about my recent trip to Japan, because Min had also recently been to Japan. And I had to cut off the bit at the end where we started talking about some movies, and in particular, Superman, the new movie. And so we're going to hear that and just think about how great it is to be able to give Min a place to share his thoughts and opinions and his likes and dislikes with you out there, and that you can continue to help support this platform by going to cjsffunddrive.ca and making a donation now.
Also, have you watched any of the any movie while you're on the airplane?
Yeah, on the way there, I watched... I went back and watched Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is not the newest one, but the one before that. And I watched Thunderbolts.
Oh, okay. The new Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
Japan's airplane have more, a bigger roster of films for their customer now.
Mm-hmm.
Much more than my past trips.
Yeah, there was lots and lots of options. On the way back, I watched Super 8, which is an older J.J. Abrams movie about some kids who make a movie. And I read my book a lot.
Yeah. Thunderbolts is a Marvel movie. I was also having quite a lot of good reviews during the summer, too.
Mm-hmm.
I also watched it with my friends, and they really like it. And I also heard many people saying that Marvel movies quality are going down, but Thunderbolts give us more hope. And also the Fantastic Four, new Fantastic Four movie. We can hope that the upcoming Avengers movie, also a Spider-Man movie coming next year, gonna be an excellent movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, I also watched Superman, which is also a really exciting, really entertaining movie.
Yeah, I heard good things.
With some deep message going around too. It's good. It's when it have two storyline happening at the same time. One is that Superman's having to face some public criticism about how they thought that he was an alien invader coming to invade Earth, and his nemesis Lex Luthor just exposed that with a video clip of his fam, his parents telling him to conquer Earth when he gets older. And now they gotta take him into jail. And he just peacefully accept it and not trying to resist, you know. And on meanwhile, it's also two fictional countries, I think, fighting each other, yeah, in a war, and no other countries just intervene. Nah, but Superman already intervened, and that's what caused some trouble for the U.S. government actually in the movie, and but now he's in jail and nobody come between it anymore, so the tension between two countries is getting worse, and we kind of getting the pressure that somebody gotta help Superman soon, otherwise it's gonna be a lot of tragedy, a lot of calamities coming.
Yeah. And what was your favorite part of the movie?
I guess just at the ending, when at the climax, when every important characters come together to help Superman to resolve the both conflict happening at the same time. The movie is so good because it's having many elements, and many characters, many settings, but the directors and writers managed to resolve it just really convincing, without plot holes, without anything left and no potential left undeveloped, you know.
Great. So you recommend the movie?
Yeah, I really like it.
Great.
Power movie is so popular, even the merch sold out really quick in the summer too, and I kind of miss out on a Superman action figure. They just sold out everywhere, and I checked Walmart, GameStop, many malls around us. Just couldn't find it anywhere until lately. I visit a very unpopular a little toy store in Coquitlam. Got a call out to Mastermind Toys. I'm not getting sponsored by them though, but it's just really have fun. Finally, they have plenty of the new Superman figures.
Nice.
And some Batman, some DC action figures, with even a special discount, a flyer discount for 40% off. So I pay a lot less than retail price, and I even found rare items. So it was such a great finding lately.
Nice. Yeah, it's nice to find a little hole in the wall that has something you weren't expecting. That's great.
Thank you. Anything else you want to tell us about?
I mean, I feel like I could talk about my trip to Japan for hours and hours and hours, so it's probably best to leave it there, but
you may tune in more to hear more about maybe your experience with other city.
Yeah.
They also have very unique things in their own special ways.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, man.
Thank you. Okay, and this is
Community Radio can't exist without community. Our listeners and supporters make this possible. My name is Danny Nesvedarani, host of Analog Archives, and I am urging you to support CJSF 90.1 FM, your community radio station, with a donation to FunDrive at cjsffunddrive.ca, or by texting donate to 778-782-2573 right now. Your support is so important and so appreciated.
A That's right. Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. It's Fun Drive, as Danny Nesvedarani, our community journalist, just let you know. And you can make a donation to help support campus community radio here at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, supporting the community all around us, the Tri-Cities, Burnaby, New Westminster, Vancouver, Surrey, etc., North Vancouver, by going to cjsffundrive.ca and making a donation now. You can support the work and opportunities of volunteers like Min, who was there talking about Superman movie, Superman action figures, some other movies that have come out recently, and also journalists like Danny, who joined us in about a year ago as our community journalist through a government grant. But your contributions can help us support Danny better, can help give opportunities to Danny to help mentor and develop a whole new generation of journalists. Danny didn't have experience as a journalist specifically when he started, but through CJSF, through a combination of that government grant and also funding that we receive through the Fund Drive and funding we receive from students, we were able to bring him aboard and train him and get him out there doing reporting on all sorts of things that are going on in the greater Vancouver area, providing a level of coverage of local events that is rapidly disappearing. Since we hired Danny, multiple local news outlets have closed or have reduced their operations. A lot of the radio coverage that exists out there is almost entirely sort of Vancouver focused. So having the ability to go and, you know, report on City of New Westminster council meetings and things like that, bringing really important stories to you and to the communities that we serve has been really, really valuable and really great to see. So if you want to see more of that, you can donate to CJSF's Fund Drive 2025. Help us rise higher and reach further by going to cjsffunddrive.ca and making a pledge now. And to help convince you, here's one of Danny's stories.
This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On September 20th, the Marianne and Edward Gibson Art Museum at Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus finally became accessible for public viewing. The museum, which is also being referred to as the Gibson, is SFU's very first purpose-built art museum, consolidating what was previously known as SFU Galleries. The Gibson is named after Marianne and her late husband, Dr. Edward Gibson, who joined the university in 1965 as one of SFU's charter faculty members. The Gibson Art Museum was made possible through funding that was provided by Edward Gibson's family. Before the opening, CJSF sat down for a conversation with Executive Director of the Gibson, Kimberly Phillips. During the interview, Phillips spoke on the design philosophy of the new art museum and how it serves to honor Dr. Edward Gibson's own values of cross-disciplinary collaboration and dialogue.
Dr. Gibson was a really interesting person. He was a charter faculty member and an urban geographer, and he also ran the art gallery in the 80s and 90s. And he was really excited about visual art because he felt it was a way to catalyze conversations across disciplines. He was often, his widow Marianne has told me many times that he would get frustrated with his colleagues in geography because they wouldn't really see the ways in which the opportunity that art presented to launch new ideas and connect people across disciplines. And so he really kind of grabbed this opportunity and saw what the potential of both the art gallery and also SFU's art collection could do to catalyze these kinds of inquiries. So that was why he called for an art museum on the campus. So that is kind of embedded in the mission and the mandate of the Gibson Art Museum, is this notion of like interdisciplinary inquiry, grounding, like working with artists, like really exciting kind of research propositions, but seeing art as a way of engaging with the world, regardless of what discipline you seem to work in and the research questions you have.
Phillips then went on to explain some of the questions that came about when designing the Marianne and Edward Gibson Art Museum, including how to make the space more accessible and welcoming for all SFU students.
Who, you know, almost every university campus has an art gallery or museum. And I would say like a good 90% of students move through their whole degrees without ever setting foot in these spaces because they just assume that they're not for them, right? So that was a big question for us. Like, is it possible to try to design a space that feels like it invites you to come in, that is all on one level, that you can see into. There's enough windows that it doesn't feel like a crypt or something specialized that doesn't involve you, that you can see people that look like you inside already. All of these things. What are the materials? How do the materials that we build with encourage? Do they feel warm? Do they feel clinical? Do they encourage you to kind of stay a while or slow down? Those kinds of questions were really important. Yeah.
Lastly, Kimberly Phillips explained the idea and inspiration behind the museum's first exhibition, titled Edge Effects.
The term edge effect comes out of ecology. Scientists use it to describe what happens when there's two different ecological communities that sort of like rub up against one another or coexist next to one another. An example of this is like a forest meeting the edge of farmed land, or, you know, a river meeting an ocean. And there's specific conditions that erupt when those communities kind of mingle and intermix, like a river estuary, right, has a certain kind of water, like a brackish, saltier water. So it allows for certain interactions and certain like kind of abundance to flourish where otherwise, you know, certain species would never meet. So I was really interested in this description of like what happens at edges, essentially. And like I said, in my team, we've been talking about what our roles are at the edge of the university, facing outwards, facing into the publics. And I say publics, like multiple publics, like young kids, like elder people, various different visitors, etc., like as well as students and faculty and scholars and staff. So the condition of operating along that edge, I thought, was a really interesting and appropriate one to explore, because I think also Dr. Gibson was kind of excited by edges. There's lots of pictures of him teaching class outside. He didn't love the classroom so much. He enjoyed being out, like in the world. He was an urban geographer. He was interested in like the ways in which society and the environment kind of coexist together and inform one another. So what we did was I developed this quite a large and quite an unruly exhibition of 15 different artists whose artistic practices are all contend with edges in really different ways. Like they sort of grapple with edges.
The Marianne and Edward Gibson Art Museum requires no admission fee and is now open to the public from Wednesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this segment on frequencynews.ca.
CJSF 90.1 FM is a station that is diverse, independent, and yours. Donate now to help us rise higher and reach further. Donate now at cjsffunddrive.ca or text DONATE to 778-782-2573.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Listen to our talk coordinator, Nicole, and donate at cjsffunddrive.ca to support great reporting like Danny's piece on the new Gibson Art Gallery here at Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus. Today there's an exhibit with borscht. You can go enjoy free borscht here on campus for as long as it lasts. Go do it. I'm going to after this. But make sure you donate to CJSF's Fund Drive before you do. The world, all sorts of crazy, terrible things are happening in the world. All sorts of crazy, great things are happening in the world. It does kind of feel like it's all burning. But you can support us through that by making a donation or pledging to make a donation. You can call the studio 778-782-2573. You can text the station, 778-782-2573 with the word donate, or you can go to cjsffunddrive.ca and make a donation to help us rise higher and reach further. We're aiming to raise $10,000 to support Campus Community Radio in your community, in our community, and we need your help to do it. So please, once again, cjsffunddrive.ca. I'm going to leave you with my favorite track from one of my favorite local artists' new album. This is Bayon, the track World is Burning. And while that might be the case, that doesn't mean that you can't help us get through it by going to cjsffunddrive.ca and making a donation. Thank you. I'm Jesse. This is Fun Drive. It keeps going till Sunday. Any donation is appreciated. And we're all in this together. So thanks for the help.
Waiting, anticipating, all the pressure's building. Kinda got the feeling like I've got a new lease on the life I'm leading. Where I just abandon everything I'm feeling, and as it gets darker, I don't have to see it. I can close the curtains, choose not to believe it. Everybody's laughing, we're having such a good time. Everybody's dancing.
CJSF Radio is a community adventure, a joint effort between the radio station, the community, and the members of the campus and community who freely give their time to the programs you listen to and enjoy throughout the year. It is listener-powered radio, and Fun Drive is the chance to show your support and keep CJSF a strong, diverse, and alternative media voice. Help us rise higher and reach further by donating now at cjsffunddrive.ca. Or text DONATE to 778-782-2573 to get the donation link.
Ducks Unlimited Canada works with landowners and other conservation-minded partners to improve outcomes for communities and wildlife. supporting vital ecosystems which contribute to water quality and quantity, soil health, support agriculture and economy, mitigate severe weather events, and provide opportunities for recreational access to nature. Together, we are unlimited. Learn more about programs and partnerships at ducks.ca.